Sounds like a terrible problem.
It is, because it makes an office situation, which could be in other ways, you know, much more pleasant of people who are working together in a kind of artistic community, very nice, be very unpleasant and very anger-provoking for a number of people who are sensitive to the situation that's going on.
It's also really disappointing when women finally do get into positions of power or authority, and once there, it's really clear to see that they're not, their consciousness is not where we wish that it was.
Yeah, I think that's why I feel this anger in that situation, because it's one of the reasons why I thought, oh, this is maybe a place where I can work and where I can feel that I can advance myself in some way, because they've already signified that, yes, there's this person, and we feel that she's qualified and that she has an equal amount of say in what goes on in policy in the office. And she's utilizing that power in a very destructive kind of way. And it's just a very sad thing to see, because, as you said, we don't get in that position very often.
That's really too bad. Maybe she's listening. She's heard your feelings.
I hope so. I hope so, because what you're doing is very worthwhile. I listen all the time, and it's
great.
Worthwhile.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We'll take the next call now. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'd like to just tell you a little story which illustrates how difficult it is for me to express my anger, and then I will hang up and see if you have any comments. How's that?
Okay, fine. Or stay on the line if you like, and we'll talk about it together.
Oh, all right. Well, this is just a typical example. I was invited to dinner last night with a group of about four other women friends, and I thought it would be nice to stop off at a liquor store and pick up some wine. The liquor store was about, seven or eight blocks away from where I worked, and then I had a long walk to the subway, and it was very hot, so I didn't rush. That made me late. So when I got to the friend's house, she opened the door to greet me and said, you're late, as usual, which I am not. I'm practically never late. You got lost again, as usual. I've never been lost, and I didn't want to say, I was furious, but I didn't want to say the reason I'm late is that I was getting this bottle of expensive wine from you. So I just said, yes, I got lost, and I smiled, and I almost felt like hitting her with the wine.
Wow. Is that the end of the story?
End of story.
Don't hang up.
All right.
Now, what would you really have liked to say to her?
I would have liked to have said, you know perfectly well that I do not get lost, at least to your knowledge and to mine. We have never been lost with each other. And I would have liked to have told her that I was late because it was a long walk to the liquor store in the heat.
Now, why do you think you didn't? What made you not express that anger?
Because I was so angry that I thought it would disrupt the other, everybody and astound the group that I should get so angry over what was... I felt it was a very insulting remark. I felt that I'm oversensitive.
Now, what did not expressing that anger do to you? How did you feel?
It wrecked my evening. I was mad all night. And I tried to leave early. It was hard to leave early because, again, it was a long walk back to the subway, and I didn't want to go by myself, so I had to wait for one of the other people to walk with me, and I was eager to leave early.
Right. And do you think there's a possibility that not having expressed that anger, that feeling might stay with you toward her and not dissipate, and you might, it might disrupt your relationship with her because you didn't express it?
Well, about 15 years ago, she did something that made me so angry that I didn't speak to her for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
We just came together again after 15 years.
Did you tell her what it was that she did 15 years ago yet?
Excuse me?
When you came back together, did you tell her why you hadn't spoken to her?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, why don't you tell her now?
I don't know why. I really don't.
You don't want to do that?
No.
Okay. I think what I'm trying to get at is that it's, first of all, I personally feel like it's not our fault that it's hard for us women to express anger, because we were socialized to be nice and not to express it.
That was the slogan of my household.
Right. Be nice?
Be nice.
But what I'm saying is that now that we're adults, we should do everything we can to contradict those patterns and just, you know, okay, that's what I was taught, but it's not serving me now and it's messing up my life, and I'm going to express the anger from now on, so that I don't have to sit all night and have my evening ruined and probably not digest my dinner very well, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, as I said, that's just a very typical example, because, you know, things come up all the time in which you're angry at other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this trouble as equally with men and women. It's
mm-hmm.
not easier for me to get angry at women as it is with you, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get angry at anybody
mm-hmm.
except my children, because I feel perfectly safe with them.
Oh, did you hear the program I did 3 weeks ago?
I came home late, and I tuned in at about the last 10 minutes, and I was so sorry
that
I missed the beginning, because I thought, this one is for me.
Right.
Was too late.
The reason I asked is because when I was talking in the beginning of that show, I remember that I said that has been true for me, too, that all of this time of my life that I haven't been able to express anger, the place I have been able to express it has been with my children, because it's perfectly safe, because they can't go away. I mean, they are captive relations. They need me to take care of them, and they're not going to go away just because I get mad at them.
Well, I think one great advance for me in this area, because it's really one of the horrendous things in my life, which I'm really working on with, I guess, small success. You know, I may be doing it better without even knowing it in some areas, but see, my kids have grown up. They're 19 and 20, and they've left the house, and they're on their own, and, you know, at first I thought I had to be very nice to them or I'd never see them again, kind of thing, but I feel very secure with them now.
Mm-hmm.
I really know they love me, and so I do get mad.
Great. Well, they're the beginning. Right. I think that when the kids are smaller, when they're little and really dependent on us, it's just so unfair to them that they bear the brunt of all the anger that we can't.
You know, yeah. I still remember the one or two or possibly three times that I hit my kids, and I can, you know, I still feel a pain. You know,
mm-hmm.
they don't remember it all, but
mm-hmm.
It was unfair, I think, of me to have let fly like that when I was probably mad at my boss,
mm-hmm.
one of my coworkers, or the man of the moment in my life, or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But I took it out on the kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's too bad that we do that. But again, we do that because of our socialization. And what we need to do now is contradict that and change it, as, you know, using any means possible, learn to break those old patterns.
What do you mean by any means possible?
Well, whether we have to talk to a lot of other women and find out how they're changing their dealing with their own anger, or whether we have to do it in therapy situations or counseling situations, or keep a journal, or just anything that we can do to encourage ourselves to be able to get angry. Or it's very easy to get angry at the society as a whole that is so incredibly destructive to women. And that's one way that I started getting in touch with my own anger. I got very, when I became a feminist and started looking at what the world is really like for women, how incredibly oppressed we are and how violently we're treated everywhere, I got very, very angry at that. And what I'm doing, and I'm, of course I still am, but I'm learning from that experience of anger and being able to use it in personal situations as well, when I feel it's necessary to do that in order to constructively improve the relationship. Or I'm trying to. I shouldn't make me sound like I'm really, really good at it, because I'm not. I still have a lot of problems, but I'm trying, and I'm trying to change it as much as I can.
Well, good luck to both of us.
Right.
Talking to you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, the number is 371-5200. What I would like to do now is read you a short poem, and following that, I would like us to hear Margie Adam singing I've Got a Fury. And after that, if you would like to call, we will still have time for a couple more phone calls. So the number is 371-5200. And this poem was sent to me by a listener. She sent me a long, long letter, and maybe I'll have time for a few excerpts from it later. The poem goes like this. Lately, I've been wishing for open fields. I've been wishing for cool breezes. I've been feeling the need to be restlessly content. Lately, I've been feeling the desire to laugh out loud. I've been seeing the lioness within me. I've been knowing the fury at being held back. Lately, I've been told that it won't come easy. I know that it doesn't come easy, and I've had the visions of fighting back. Margie Adam, and the song is I've Got a Fury. And we have a few more minutes to take phone calls if you want to call. And I'm very surprised that there aren't more women listening who want to call and tell me how angry they are at anything, at the world. I want to tell you about a decision that was just made in a California court, in case you have not read about it. A judge in a California court just ruled that women who hitchhike should expect to be raped, and he ruled against a woman who was, there was a man was accused of rape, but he raped a woman who hitchhiked a ride with him. And the judge said, too bad, if you hitchhike alone, you're asking for it. So if that makes you angry, call. We have two calls, and I will take one now. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if there's time to deal with it, but it's a problem for me. I have such an anger in me against somebody that I am, at this point, I am unable to express it because the anger will be inappropriate to whatever the particular agent, catalytic agent, would be at that point. In other words, it would be like hitting a gnat with a 2x4.
I mean, it would be really out of proportion because you're so angry now.
What do you do?
What do you do? Well, I guess you should examine, if it's really out of proportion to the event, you should examine why it's made you that angry.
No, what I'm saying is the anger is such, built up so over a period of time, that I am no longer able to express anger over minor things.
Oh, I see.
Because I will not be able to, my anger will not be minor. My anger will be an accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I have a dike in front of that sea of anger at this point. And I, if I pierce the dike at all, the whole thing will break.
I get it.
And all hell will break loose.
I get it. Okay, now how would you feel about sitting down with a friend with whom you're not angry and getting her to listen to you and have her role play the person that you're angry at and let all of the feelings out at her and let yourself really get into it physically, not on her though, but on, you know, beating up a pillow or take a rolled up newspaper and smack it against the side of a chair as you talk and let all of the welled up, the fury out enough so that after you do that, you can talk to the real person with the edge off it and hopefully stay in control.
Is another person necessary, or could I, for instance, because that's an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
It just never occurred to me. Would it work, do you think, if I did it in an empty room?
Well, I don't know. I personally find that doesn't work for me, that I have a lot of trouble letting out really strong emotions when I'm by myself in a room. But with someone else there listening, it somehow gives me the space, the right kind of space to be able to do it. And I don't know why that is. But the person should be there very lovingly and very supportively, be there to hear everything you have to say and not give you any kind of feedback on it, such as saying, oh, you're right to feel that. Oh, I can understand that. I'd feel that too. But the person you're doing it with could encourage you to keep doing it, like by saying, and how did you feel when she did that? Or tell me again. Like sometimes you'll find yourself saying a phrase, expressing a phrase that about something the person did, and that really gets you in touch with your fury. And the person who's doing it with you can just say, what did you say? Would you say that again? And wow, it can all really come pouring out.
You know, I can just picture, though, the other person saying, yeah, what happened next? Yeah, what happened next?
Well, I think that would probably make you talk and explain what happened rather than express your feelings. And what you need is a safe space to express your feelings where you know you're not going to hurt the person. So you could just get a friend and explain exactly what you want from her before you start. Say, I want you to come over and I want you to sit down with me and I want to close the door and I want you to just listen to me and let me express all of the stuff that I'm feeling and just listen and just be there.
You also mentioned physical.
Yes, definitely.
That's interesting. That's recommended for that when you do heavy mental work or emotional work.
Mm-hmm.
Physical activity is necessary to maintain a balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good to do that because no matter how much you scream, and you can just really let yourself go and yell and scream, it's not going to get it all out. But if you, beat up a pillow or as I said, the thing with a newspaper is incredible because it makes such an enormously loud, hard sound as you hit the back of the couch or whatever with it or the floor with it. And see, your anger is not bad. It's not unhealthy to have that anger. It's good to have it. It just shows how alive you are that you're feeling that much. But of course, it would be bad if you expressed it at the person in such a destructive way that you actually hurt them. You don't want to do that. It would be destructive to you and to her. To her and to you, because you would not, you know, you'd have to pay for that in some way. We can't go around beating people up. But you can beat up the back of a chair, calling her names the meanwhile, and get the edge off it, and then talk to her. And if you want to try it alone, you can. And if that doesn't work, then get a friend.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, and I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
We have another call. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to make a comment about the woman that you spoke to before earlier about the wine that she had brought over.
Uh-huh.
For myself, I know when I'm in a situation like that, because a few people will make certain little comments about things being late or showing up with, you know, some tacky comment. Instead of saying something that night, I would rather dwell on it and wait until the next day, especially for a party situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, and instead of ruining the evening then, talk about it to her, with her the next day.
Uh-huh, that's a good idea.
And because, you know, the circumstance, the company and everything else, and the host or hostess, you know, it makes for bad company and everything else, and, you know, with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that I've listened to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about anger, and I was thinking about it, and from when I was in high school, I can remember with my mother, her and I fighting constantly, whether we just clashed or whatever it was, we just did not get along. And then when I went to college, I found that I was, well, being thrown into a situation with a great amount of different types of people of all different levels, you know, of economics, different backgrounds, family backgrounds, I was able to relate more to my mother, you know, when I would come home for holidays or whatever, weekends, and to sit down and talk with her instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was just the growing up or whatever it was, I think it had more to do with dealing with other people that reminded me, you know, certain things that they had said that was the same thing that my mother could have said, but it was a different person.
Mm-hmm. So you could hear it better.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, not it's not the same, you know, that's a different voice. That could have been it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hearing that voice over and over again for 17, 18 years of my life, and then all of a sudden hearing a different voice saying it, it was a totally different atmosphere in the air.
Right.
I was able to talk about it, and we would sit and discuss it. And when I went home, I did the same thing. I would try to block out the voice and who it was, being my mother, whether it was saying, go straighten up your room or whatever, just like my roommate would say to me. You know, the same situation, and then just to sit and talk about the whole thing that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that as I'm growing, I'm becoming more peaceful. You know, instead of, you know, there are certain things that everybody gets angered over, but I'm able to work it out in my head, trying to figure out why that person would have said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at it that way, objectively. And, you know, trying to think, well, could she have said, you know, you were late because you got lost, because she was uneasy about the whole situation, you know, at the party. She was a little nervous. The hostess was nervous. And just trying to, just saying something to get herself, make herself at ease a little bit, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, you know, I think that's what I try to do.
That's good. It sounds like a good idea if the woman who called, who was angry at that, could deal with it even now, could call up her refound friend after 15 years and say, listen, I just want to tell you that I'm a little angry about something that happened the other night, and I want to tell you about it so that I don't hold on to that anger and make us not be friends again. And it's interesting, but there really are ways to present anger that makes the anger much more acceptable to the person who's listening.
I know also last year there were three of us all through elementary school and high school that were you could not separate us. And one of our friends decided, you know, during the summer she didn't call, and she just broke herself completely away from the other one and I. And Sue, who was with me, who, did, you know, Robin did not talk to, became very angered and totally blocked out the thought of ever being friends with her again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it hurt me to think that after all of these years that you can't try to pick up the pieces and, you know, think, well, there had to have been a very good reason. Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter, because if she wanted to tell us, she would have. If not, you know, that's okay too. We are her friends. We have to help her get back on her feet for whatever reason it is, and, you know, accept it, and that's it.
Well, maybe she's listening. I'm going to have to go off now because I've got to close now because we're out of time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. In a minute, we will close with our regular theme song, which is, in fact, a very, very angry song. But I want to read one more excerpt from one more letter first before we do, and then we will go out with Holly Near singing Sister Woman Sister. This is from the same woman who wrote the poem that I read before. She listens a lot to the show, and she's talking about the fact that it took her a while to get herself to write me. And then she says, "Finally, I feel connected enough to write. Anger has done it. Anger while listening to Andrea." That was Andrea Dworkin, who was on a show. "Anger during Lesbian Pride Week, and anger now. I feel as if I have let loose a tornado. I don't know where to begin. While listening to Andrea and reading about women, by women, I have begun to get in touch with my anger as a woman in this society. I have always been an angry person, but it was centered on me. I was the beginning and end of that anger, all my fault and all in my control. Seeing myself as part of a society which has caused me pain as a woman, not because my being is bad, though to the patriarchy being a woman means being a bad being, has taken a load off me, allowed me some of my anger at people other than myself." And I wanted to close on that note because that is one thing I want to leave all of us with at the end of these two programs on anger, that all of the aspects of anger we've been talking about are very important. Not repressing it, expressing it at friends, working it out in relationships. But I think probably to me the most important thing still is getting in touch with our rage at society and what it does to women all the time, such as a judge deciding that a woman who is hitchhiking should expect to be raped because she has no right to be out doing that. And I will leave you with those thoughts. And we'll close now with Holly Near singing Sister Woman Sister.
Sister Woman Sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your veins? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving, and you've forgotten how to fly? Oh, sister, woman, sister, did they take away your child? And they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild. Oh, sister, woman, sister, they won't let me come and see you no more. But I still got the poem that you wrote me. It's hanging on my apartment door. It reads a knock, but the door won't open. I seek, but I can't find you. I ask, but you can't hear me when I'm screaming. Sister, woman, sister, you cannot hear me when I'm screaming. Sister, woman, sister, you cannot hear me when I'm screaming. Oh, sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazine in?